word, to hear your voice, Lord, to see you among us, to hear your voice speak, Lord. And Father, we just want to see Christ. That's why we're here, Lord. We want to see the word manifest. We want to see you walking among us. And Lord, take the word and show us how you have been doing it, Lord. How you've walked among us this past week as we're at work, at home, driving down the road, Lord. Just take the word and open it to us so we can recognize ourselves, Lord. We can see others in the word. We can see you in the word. But Father, we need to see ourselves. We need to see ourselves manifesting the word for this day, Lord Jesus. We need to see Christ in us. Lord, to see someone else is wonderful, but Lord, if we don't see ourselves, we're missing out, Father. There's something wrong. There's nothing wrong with you or the word. It's us, Lord. So, Father, come to us now, Lord, and just open our eyes to see. Speak to us tonight, Lord. Encourage us. Lord, bring a chastening where needed, and bring encouragement, Lord Jesus. And just, Father, cause us to grow. Cause us to be more like you. We ask this, Lord, in your name with great expectation, Lord. Amen. If you turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians 6:14, read a few verses there and then be seated. 1 Corinthians 6:14. And it says this, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." You may be seated. Tonight we want to speak on separation. We want to speak on separation and how important it is, and some of the reasons why God sees it as being so important. And we need to recognize some of the things, why we are called to be separate. First of all, a lot of people look at this and they say, "Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers," and they talk about marriage, and that's absolutely the truth. We do not want to do that, but this goes beyond that, something much deeper. Part of the reason that God gives us marriage is to recognize when he says, "I'm going to be a husband and you're my bride," you know, that's so we understand what he's talking about. And so when you see these things, it goes beyond just a natural a wedding, a marriage between a man and woman, but it goes to spiritually, where we're not supposed to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Spiritually, what does that mean, brother and sister, that you don't hang around with people who don't believe like you do? You better go find a closet and sit in there by yourself, because you're going to find people who don't agree with you. That's not what it's about. That's why the monastery idea, and you know, we go out and we separate ourselves from everyone else in the world, and we just hang around with the people who believe like we do. That you are not called to that. We're going to find out part of being separate is that you are living in this world among worldly people, being separate. That's what you're called to do. And so what do? We say, "Well, I can do that. I'm going to go to work and I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm not going to hang around with anybody. I'm going to have nothing to do with them so they know I'm separate from them." You Amish hypocrite. That ain't what we're called to do either. What is it talking about, brother and sister? He says he wants us to be separate. He said, "Come out and don't touch the unclean thing." What is the unclean thing? Let's just be real blunt. Brother and sister, we need to be a spiritual virgin to Christ. That means we don't partake of all those evil spirits and idols out there and in here among our own selves. You know you all have idols, right? Well, maybe some of you don't. Some of us still have idols. You know how you know if you have idols or not in your life? When the preacher gets on your case sometime and it kind of wrinkles against you. And he starts kind of hurting your feelings a little bit. And you get a little embarrassed. Or you don't like, you know, you're kind of getting uncomfortable. It's because he's exposing idols in your life. That's all. Amen, brother. It's true. So we need to be separate from them. You say, "Well, nothing Brother Jerry says ever bothers me." Well, praise God. You ready for the rapture? while you sleep. Come out from a... Let's read someone else. 1 Peter 2:9. Let's just read that before we kind of get started here. Just set a little foundation so we all know what we're doing. He says, just as you're turning there, let me just go over what he said. Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you and will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So this is about having a family. You want to be part of the family of God, you got to separate from this family of the devil, right? 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Let me just stop there. Look at all he's describing us. He says those people who have come out, who have been separate from the world, who have received the Holy Ghost, who are God in God's family, he said you're a chosen generation. You've been chosen. Who chose you? You didn't go out and say, I'm choosing myself, God. He said, no, you're not. What Brother Brandon says, something like this, he said, you didn't come to God unless he calls you. Now listen, everyone in the world wants to worship God. Everyone has a desire in their heart to worship God, and everybody worships some kind of God. The atheists worship some kind of God. And the way our generation, our world is going now, we are worshiping the God of knowledge and information and self and rights, and there's so many things we're all worshiping. You just look at the way we are. You know what Laodicea is, people's rights, right? Boy, did we nail that. Tell me people aren't all up in arms about all our rights. I believe in people's rights, and I believe you have a right to be offended if the truth offends you. That's right. People take this and they say, my rights are greater than your rights. That's where you get in trouble. I just read it today. University of Mississippi. They always have the whole, some kind of a Christmas party every year there at the school, you know. This year, they're not going to call it Christmas party because the non-Christians would feel offended because it's such a Christian thing. So to quit emphasizing on the Christianity, they're going to call it the Hotty Toddy Party. Hotty Toddy Holiday Party. Is that not disgusting beyond? I mean, how did we get there? People's rights. Wow. So, chosen generation, a royal priesthood. This is how he's calling. He said, you people are separate. You're a royal priesthood. Isn't that amazing? He said, I don't feel like a priest. He didn't say you feel like it. He said, that's what you are. You're a royal priest. What does a priest do? He offers sacrifices to God. You're part of your separate. Your separation is you are offering you as a sacrifice to God. I'm a priesthood. What's your sacrifice? This is it. You see, I'm a sister. You're still a part of the royal priesthood. You offer sacrifices to God. A holy nation. Peculiar people. How's that word? It means you're very important. You've been called out. You've been separated. You're very valuable. You're peculiar to God. The world looks at you like you're a fool. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath both called you out of darkness into his... The praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's separating. Which in times past were not a people, talking about you Gentiles, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now hath obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So what's he saying is you have been called to a very specific purpose in life. You are supposed to be a peculiar people. You're separated from the dark into the light. And he says, abstain from the fleshly lust, which war against your soul, because you are supposed to be an example before all the Gentiles, all the people, that you are this royal priesthood so that they see your works and glorify God and recognize there's something different about you. You must be salty. And if if you don't separate from the world, you are not salty, because you're just like they are. What makes a person salty is because you have something different than they do. That's why it's so important to be separate. There's a lot of reasons to be separate, but this is something that we all must do, brother and sister, is to separate ourselves so when the world looks at you, they see that you react differently to life. You handle life differently than they do. And some people are going to love you for it, some people are going to hate you for it, and some people could care less. They're just indifferent. But for those people who have a seed of God, who want to see a reality because there's something inside of them that they just can't control. It's thirsting for life, and they see something salty, and salt makes you thirsty. And how do you get there? By separating in your spirit realm from the idols that they serve. Why would a person want what you have? Do you have enough confidence in what you have, what your religion is, to tell a person you really needed to get what I got? Or do you just point them to the message? Someone wants to talk to you about what you believe. Well, we have the prophet and we have this message. Really? What do you possess? You're trying to convince them another doctrine to believe. Look, you can look at us, especially with the sisters, you can see we're different. Go up to some young, attractive lady out here on the street or at work and say, don't you want to grow your hair long like mine? Don't you want to have long or really long hair, not cut, and just wear skirts and don't wear makeup? And she said, well, no. Why would I want to do that? That's old-fashioned. That's weird. That's not salty if you just look at that. But you know what she sees? That woman might work with you or interact with you, whatever, and she sees something that, man, there's something just calm about you. There's something peaceful, or there's something joyous, or there's something, there's love, or there's something different. Is it because of your hair? Of course not. There's going to be plenty of ladies, plenty of women in hell with long hair. It won't save you. We're going to find out how important it is, though, in a minute. What is it, brother and sister? Separate yourself in your spirit realm so that, you know why a girl like that doesn't want that? Because she's worshiping something. She's worshiping her outward beauty. And she looks at you and says, don't you want what I got? Don't you want to be attractive like me? And you know your flesh says? Yeah. But something inside says, there ain't no way. I want what I got. This is way more valuable. I'll pay the price. I'll make that sacrifice. You are a priest. Priestess. Being separate doesn't mean you leave them and walk off and live in the woods. That'd be fun though, wouldn't it? I think so. But you walk right among them as a light shining in darkness. You separated. Your spirit is different than theirs. You control. Your spirit is under control of a different power than theirs. Let me read some quotes, all right? Brother Bram says this, come out from amongst your people, Abraham. The thing is, they're doubters and unbelievers, and they'll have you in the same fix. So I just got done saying we don't separate ours from people, but he turns around and says, Abraham, come out from among your people, Abraham. The thing is, they're doubters and unbelievers, they'll have you in the same fix. So when he says your people, brother and sister, he's talking about Abraham's family. What's he saying to do here? Is separate yourself. If a person is going to have a negative influence on you, be aware of that and don't let them do it. And if you have to completely separate yourself from them physically, then separate yourself from them physically. Especially if it's your family. Because they have the most influence on you. Just look at your family. All of us can look at our family and say, man, what the influence they've had on us. Are you willing to sacrifice that? Are you willing to separate yourself? Now, once you get to a point where they're no longer influencing you, hang out with them. It's not a big deal. See, this isn't a legalism, you're keeping the law. Well, they believe it this way, so I'm only going to eat dinner with these people. I'm not going to hang out with those people. No, come on! That ain't it. Be led by the Holy Spirit. When I was a young Christian, I had come down here, gave my heart to the Lord, went back home, talked to my dad in northern Indiana. He totally talked me out of it. He was a bad influence on me. And it was good that he lived up there and I lived clear down here, because after a while, when I wasn't interacting with him a lot, I got back out from under his influence, and God did get me and get me back in church and going forward. But after a while, he could move down here and we would talk and have all kinds of fellowship together, and he never once more influenced me to leave the church. That's what I'm talking about. If you have a family member, every time you get around him, you can't keep your cool, quit hanging around him. That's pretty simple. Till you can control your own temper and your own spirit and your own attitudes around this person, then don't go around it, because you're just being a reproach. Because they're going to push your buttons. And as soon as they push your buttons, say, oh, I thought you were a Christian. Satan likes nothing more than to get you to be a reproach to Christ. Especially around the people who need to see him the most. He said, come out and separate yourself and live for me. What is it? Listen to this. He said, leave your conscience and senses behind you like that. Open up your mind. Remember, it's me. Come live with me. God's calling every seed of Abraham this morning to that same kind of a life. Great battle is on now worldwide. God wants his people separating themselves from what? Brother Branham asked a question. What does God want you separating yourself? And then he tells us. See, taste, feel, smell, hear. All the five senses. Imagination, conscience, memories, reason, affection. Everything. Separate yourself from the way you contact this world, physically and emotionally. Your spirit realm and your physical realm. He said, separate yourself from that. What does that mean? We go quit feeling and seeing and tasting? No. It means if it tells you something that's not according to the word, you separate yourself from that unbelief. Absolutely. Because your imagination is going to tell you, you really want to do that. And you know what? It's going to feel really good. Separate yourself from that. You know what? You can really hold a grudge and you really deserve it. That person did you wrong. I would hold a grudge against them. Separate yourself from that kind of stuff. You are too tired to go to church now. Your feelings, right? You really need to eat that gallon and a half of ice cream. It tastes good. We're doing holiday heroes at work. We have like 1,300 kids we're giving gifts to, and people do the shopping, bring it to, we put them in bags, and they bring in all this candy. We can't give the candy to the kids. So we always take all the candy, put them on a big table in front of the room. And anytime you want to, you can just go up there and help yourself to thousands of different kinds of candy, it seems. It's terrible. Because if I just go and eat the candy I want, I'll be so sick. I ate two pieces today. I was very proud of myself. But it's what? My taste buds telling me you really want that. But I know if I partake to the extent I want, I'm going to be very sad that I did. That's just what he's saying. He said, don't be ruled by your feelings. Don't be ruled by your emotions. Don't be ruled by other people's emotions. My imagination, the fears, the doubts. Separate yourself from that Abraham seed. That's what he's saying. Abraham was the example. Abraham, you're going to have a child. It's going to be through Sarah. Abraham laughed. He did. We all know how Sarah laughed. But before Sarah ever laughed, Abraham laughed first. Ain't that funny? Abraham was perfect. Abraham, come dwell in the land I give you. Okay, God, I'm here. Man, it's getting bad around. I think I'm going to go down to Philistines, go down to Gaza or wherever. He went off of here. He went over there. Abraham was perfect. What was he doing? He was following his emotions. And what did God do? He kept bringing them back, and he bringing them back, and he brought them back, and he kept dealing with them until he finally got into a place. Okay, now, Abraham, after 25 years, you have never quit believing my promise to you that you're going to be a father nation, and Sarah is going to have this kid. So in spite of all the other junk that was going on in Abraham's life, God was looking at the promise, and Abraham believed. He separated himself from unbelief on that one promise. There's other things he didn't. That's why he was lying and doing all the other stuff he did. Isn't it a horrible thing to say, but aren't you glad he did those things? What if the great heroes of the faith were all perfect? Where would that put us? I'd have got discouraged and left long ago. Except God wouldn't have let me. He knew it too, except God didn't let you. All right, let me keep going. He said, we want everything, just everything, so we can take it easy and retire and take life easy. Life wasn't intended to be easy. Life is a struggle. Anything that's got life is struggling. If you have eternal life, that life is struggling. What is it struggling to do? To separate from all your feelings and emotions and all these things we just talked about. Because it's trying to live and your own nature's trying to live and there's a battle going on. And what it is, which wins? What did Brother Bram say? Whichever one you feed the most. Are you willing to separate? My emotion wants to do this. My memory wants to do this. My affection wants to do this. I want to take it easy. And I want to just go home and just kick back and not do anything and just relax and just kind of veg out. And God's saying, no, that's not what I'm calling you to do right now. I want you to read. I want you to pray. I want you to study. I want you to call someone. I want you to do this, whatever. But I just want to relax. You know what happens is you start relaxing too much? You let down your guard. I'm not talking about don't go and relax. You have to relax. Spiritually, you let down your guard. And the next thing you know, Satan's kicking you down the hill again. You say, what happened, God? You relax spiritually. Keep your armor on. Keep your guard up. Anything that's got life is struggling. Then what does that say about preachers who try to preach an easy salvation? You believe the message? You're good. You're born again. I got a quote to prove it. Oh, sure, you can take quotes and prove that. If you believe the message, it means you're born again. But you put all the quotes together and take them in context, and you don't ever find that. Preachers like preaching it easy so people can relax and be happy in their churches. If you're struggling, that's a good sign. He said, Brother Phil, I'm just really struggling. Well, praise the Lord. You got life. You still got life in you. When Satan quits fighting you, you better get to the altar. Maybe too late. Brother, he's another message. He says, no wonder David cried, forget not all his benefits. Why, you know, after you come into this kingdom of God, there's a lot of benefits goes with it. When God calls you, knocks at your heart, separates you from the things of the world, gives you a little child training to see if you're going to hold out or not, gives you a little scolding, shakes you around, a little chastisement. All of you get it, if you're really children of God, get a little training. That's what he's doing, brother, sister. He's training us. This is, we all know this isn't something new. Excuse me. But brother, sister, what he's doing, he's separating us. Because we on ourselves, we're not going to get it right. Because you're going to try and separate yourself. I remember when I first came to the Lord, and I looked around and said, well, I need to quit doing this. I threw away this. I got rid of this. I'm separating myself from the things of the world. I wish I had a lot of that back. I thought I was being religious. I thought I was trying to make myself, I was trying to show God, I'm so willing to separate. I'm so sincere. And he was like, well, go ahead and burn all your books, but you're going to wish you had them back. There's stuff, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I just got rid of, and I had a big bonfire one time and burned all this stuff I'd written in college and all that. I was just being so religious. I would have made a great monk. Oh, it meant nothing. Ooh, nice sentiment there, Phil, but you ain't pleasing me. You're just contributing to global warming. Oh, the things we do trying to please God. And then when you find out, I'm not accepting that sacrifice, what do we tend to do? Pout. Here comes Cain. Yeah. What? I did all this, God. And that's why so many people walk away. They said, well, I tried, God. I went to church and nothing happened. And I gave my heart to you and you didn't accept it. And I just can't do this. And they just pout. And it's just this Cain's attitude. But I'm so glad there was something inside of you and something inside me that when we tried to do that, I said, no, you're not going anywhere. You might have been wrong. You just better humble yourself, cupcake, and come on back, because there's something that you got to have. There's only one thing that's going to satisfy you. You know what it is. You try those other things. You weren't satisfied. So what you do, you drag your sorry carcass back in here and say, okay, let's try this again. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? Man, the things we do. And all he said the whole time, he was just sitting there, said, well, God, what do you want me to do? He said, what did I say to do? What made Abraham righteous? Well, he believed, okay. And I believe, God, and there you go. I believe, but there you go. I believe the whole message. I know it. I've studied it. There you go. What did Abraham believe? When God spoke to him personally, that's called a revelation. He believed what God said. That's all it took. Now the battle came and improved him. Do you really believe this? Are you really going to stick here? Are you really going to stay with this? That's the battle. I was out there burning books at some kind of battle. Let me move right along here a little bit. Now, when you're separate, that means you're different, right? What spirit is influencing this world to make us all the same? Political correctness. In fact, they want to say, you know what, we're all culturally diverse. They want everyone to be diverse. We want to respect, we want to encourage diversity. So you have your culture, I have my culture. But the underlying or overarching, whatever, how you want to say it, the whole spirit is to make us all alike so that we do not offend anybody. Because Satan knows the to preach the gospel is offensive. That's what the Bible says. Preaching of the cross is offensive. It's an offense. And if he can get, especially the preachers and all of us who are separate, if he can get us controlled by political correctness, he can shut us up. And the thing, the spirit behind that political correctness that it gets to do it is fear. No one wants to be called a racist. No one wants to be called a bigot. No one wants to be called a homophobe. We're going to label you. And that's the very thing that they preach so much in this liberal movement, is you don't label anybody. You cannot say an emotionally disturbed child. You have to say a child with emotional disturbance. Because the first one, you're labeling it. Oh yeah, this is big in my line of work. Huge. Because you can't label anybody. But if you disagree with them, you're a bigot. Oh, that's labeling. You're a racist. Oh, that's labeling. Yeah, but it's when you're doing it, so it's okay. That is their logic, folks. You know why Trump has got such a following right now? Because he's about the only politician out there who's not afraid of being of the political correctness junk. And he's a crackpot, I think. If you like him, good for you. But he has enough, I don't know what the word is, but he recognizes what's driving his attraction, and so he keeps going out and saying these outrageous statements because people say, that's why I'm feeling, and he's got the backbone to say it. Now that's going on naturally. The natural types of spiritual. Don't pretend that's not happening in our message, churches, brother and sister. We saw it not too long ago, a couple years ago, when that thing with Here I Stand came out, and ministers are saying, well, I'm just not going to say anything about it. Not going to say anything about it. It's none of my business. Well, whose business is it then? If that spirit is influencing your people and it's not your business, you are a politically correct coward. I'm glad our pastor doesn't have a problem with that, aren't you? God can't use anything that's afraid. You know, Gideon had to send them all back, was scared. If you're afraid to testify of your healing before it comes, God can't use you. My, he just got down to the nitty gritty. I'm going to work and I tell everyone, God heal me after it happens. Once you get the revelation that God's going to heal you, then don't sit there and wait till it happens. Go and testify. Now, don't go off on some emotion, which is a lot of people do. They get some emotion. They get emotional in church, and God never spoke to them about it and said they were healed at all. But they go and they, you know, tell them, God heal me, God heal me. And then nothing's happened. It's like, thought God healed you. I did too. Guess he didn't. You know, the problem is we don't recognize revelation as opposed to an anointing or an emotion or something like that. That's what it is. But if you know God has healed you, then testify God has healed you. If you're afraid to tell people you've received the Holy Ghost, don't worry, I doubt whether you'll not, you'll get it. Let me read that. If you're afraid to tell people you've received the Holy Ghost, don't worry, I doubt whether you ever get it or not. That's how he said it. God wants heroes. He wants something that's brave. God wants something that'll stand up and talk, that's not scared to tell your boss or anyone else, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has saved me from a life of sin. Brother Branham said, that's a hero. That's someone who's brave. Why? Because in our world, in our life, and the way we walk right now, it becomes very unpopular to say stuff like that. Remember a fellow named Tim Tebow. He came to the NFL playing football, right? And he would pray on the sidelines, and it became a rage, swept the nation. Look at this. One guy's out there praying. He's a Christian. And yet you can get hundreds of Muslims blocking streets in New York City five times a day praying. And people don't say nothing about that. What a world we live in. Look at the influence. Everything to stop Christ. You say, was Tim Tebow a Christian? Well, he wasn't born again, but he was at least standing up for Christ. He was not afraid to say it. He said, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, over and over on national TV. My. We ought to have lived above the short hair in all this age now. Talking about women cutting the hair. We're back into something now that God's revealing the hidden mysteries that's been put on the book before the foundation of the world. Listen to this. And those who have obeyed in these small things will catch it in these other things. If they haven't, it'll go over the top of your head as far as the east is from the west. So what he's saying is we should be on the little things like cutting your hair. He said, and if you have obeyed in those small things, he's going to take you into the bigger things. But if you haven't, you're going to miss it completely. And we look around, we see that going on in our world. We see it around the message. People who have obeyed in the little things, like sit under a pastor, accept the preaching of the word. And what has happened for those of us who have done that? You can see that God is continuing to lead us up. We're not just sitting here. We're message believers. Praise God. Everything is just fine. We're just waiting for the rapture. No, we're still fighting the battle. We're still separating. We're still going forward. Not just trying to live a holy life. Being living a holy life is important. But brother and sister, living that holy life is not what we're talking about here. Separating from the world. When I was out there getting rid of all my stuff, that was my effort to separate from the world, to live a holy life. It did no good. Amish people living holiness to the T compared to us. I mean, you talk about not being worldly. They're not worldly. We're way more worldly looking than they are. That's not what we're talking about. It's a spiritual battle, brother and sister. You can make the outside look as good as you want. You can do everything so outwardly you look just as holy as can be. But what's going on in your spirit realm? That's where the separation happens. That's what God's talking about. If you take care of these little things, you'll keep going on. You'll go on and God's going to take you in the rapture. But he has to know he can trust you. If Brother Jerry said, hey Will, I'm going to Walmart and I don't feel like getting out to run inside and get a loaf of bread. That's all I need. And Will takes gives a $5 bill. And Will comes out 10 minutes later. His mouth is chock full of Reese's Pieces. He's got a whole bag full of M&Ms. He gets in the truck, says, I'm ready to go. Brother Jerry says, where's the bread? Oh, I forgot. Guess who lost a bit of trust? He hasn't been able to take care of the little things. And so he's not going to go give him a car tomorrow either. You're going to get a car. That's the way it works. If God can't trust us to control our temper, he's not going to give us more responsibility. If he can't trust us to trust this or control this or whatever, and, you know, we get around family and then we want to act crazy, or we go to church, we can't get into service and we're doing all this, and all these little things. And God said, I'm trying to get you in the rapture. I can't trust you. You don't control yourself. Man, this hurts. All right. Like Gideon, separating his men. There's thousands and thousands. God said, that's too many. So many times we say, man, that's a big church. And look at all these message believers. And God's thinking, that's too many. Separate them again. How did he do it? He gave them another test and separated them again. Separated them again. And on down till he had a little handful. What's God doing? How does he separate? By giving us tests. Can I trust you to keep going? Can I trust you with it? Will you take it? Will you accept this? And we used to have 50, 60 people here. Gave a test. Separated. God looked around. Still too many. Gave another test. Separated. I'm painting a picture of exactly what we have experienced here. That's what he's talking about. Look at the things that have separated people here. It was a test. I like the way Brother Jerry handled that. Test. I like the way Brother Jerry's preaching. Test. Someone needs to do something about Brother David. Test. Separate, separate, separate. Till they're just a handful. Are we fulfilling the word or not? Can you see yourself in that? Who would I ever know? Gideon. When you see Gideon, tell him, hey, Gideon, let me tell you something about our church. What happened with you was an example. It was a type of what we experienced in Laodicea. He said, tell me about it. Because I didn't know what was going on either. What was God doing? I had 30,000 men and he gets me down to 300. This is exciting to me. This is what we see, the word happening right here among us, separating by test, by test, by test. He tests you. Are you going to go too? Are you going to go too? What does it take? What will you give in exchange for your soul? How hard can you deal with? What can you put up with? What idol is too great for you to surrender? So he takes that idol and he smashes it. He said, are you going to go too? You can have it back if you leave. And here you sit. My, your heroes. You're just like those 300 men Gideon had. He said, I'm going to give you something. You're not going to understand this at all, but I'm going to give you a lamp with a light in it and a trumpet. Where's my sword? Don't worry about it. Well, what are we going to do, Gideon? Just going to surround the camp. You know, there's about 100,000 soldiers down there, armed to the teeth. And we got 300. That's right. That's what we're going to do. Gideon, just stop asking me, okay? You just do what I do. You ever feel like that? You're standing there, the enemy is just ready to totally slaughter you, and you're standing there with, I don't even know, why am I holding a pitcher with a lamp inside? I'm supposed to draw this, as soon as I blow this trumpet, they're going to wake up, they're going to come up and slaughter me. It doesn't make sense to my way of thinking. Why would God do the things he's allowed to have? Why does he do the things in here he's done? It doesn't make sense to my thinking. Gideon said, just do what I say. Well, do what I do. Just follow my example. It worked out. Separating by the trials. Who's going to stay? You know, one of the trials is take them down to the water. Watch how they drink. Those who fall down and just drink, laying flat on their belly from the river, they're too used to worshiping idols. They can't come with you. Those who sit up and watch and lap it up like this, take the water handle and drink like that, they're the ones you're going to take with you. They're used to praying. They're used to watching and praying. Let me finish up here. I'll just be honest right now. God just opened that to me, and I don't know what to say. I'm just like, this is reality. This is what God is doing. I can see it. I have eyes to see. I have ears to hear. My, let me read this quote. One more, or maybe. The world is hungry today. What is the world hungry for? The one thing that the whole world is looking for, what's it hungry for? It's in the movies, it's in the songs, it's in the stories, it's what people talk about. Everyone wants one thing, love. Right? That's all anyone is looking for. That's the key thing. If they can just find love. He said, the world is hungry today to see love demonstrated. Big difference between talking about it and demonstrating it. They don't want to see so much action, so much clapping hands. Then things are all right. I'm not discrediting them. I'm just trying to put them in their place. It's talking about like going to church and worshiping and having a great service. That's good. He said, I'm going to put them in their place. They don't want to hear you speak with tongues to prove you got the Holy Ghost. Or interpret to get the Holy Ghost. People don't want to come in here and look around and say, oh, well, you're speaking in tongues. Wow, this is really awesome. They want to see the love that you got to display. That's what the world is wanting, is love. You let people know that you love them. There's something about it. You can't fool the people. You go to work or you go to school or wherever and you're around people. You're at church around people and we're all Christians. We love everybody. Don't matter what you say. People want to see it. They want to see it demonstrated. They want to experience it. You know how I know if you love me or not? Is when I experience it. What does that mean? It means that once the Holy Spirit leads you to do something to demonstrate love, you do it. It might be a handshake. It might be a phone call. It might be a smile across the room. It might be a lot of things. It might be a rebuke. Do you have enough courage to rebuke me if I need it? Make sure I need it. That's all anybody wants. There's a big empty cavern in people's souls. And they're filling it. They're trying to fill it with all the things of the world. That's their idols. And when they see us doing the same thing, they think, well, I'm no different than you are. You're no different than we are. We're all the same. We're all one. Hey, we're brothers. And you're thinking, no, we're not. But why would they think that? Because they don't see any difference. Because you're worshiping the same idols. All anyone wants is love. To see it demonstrated. To experience it. That's how you know what is real or not in life. You know, the politicians are telling us all kinds of amazing things. Donald Trump is going to destroy ISIS. How are you going to do it, Donald? Don't worry about the details. I'm just going to do it. It's moronic. But he's saying the things people want to hear. I'll believe it when I see it. When I experience it. Hope I don't have to experience it through him. I'm personally not a fan. That's all. If you like Donald Trump, that's good. I'm not worried about that. That's all the world wants. They want to see something different because when they see love, that's salt. That is salt. That's the saltiest you can get. You can go up and prove someone's wrong with your doctrine. You can go up and pray for them. They can be healed. You can do all kinds of religious things. You can convince them of this or they can see a holiness life. And so you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't do all these things. Wow, that's really amazing. But if you can show them love, if they can experience your love, God's love through you, I should say it, there's nothing saltier. But I think the world has gotten so warped, so many of them, they don't recognize love when it comes. When Jesus Christ came, he demonstrated pure love. And he got crucified for it. So when we go to Christ, love people, and people reject it because they don't recognize it as love sometimes. And so what do? Well, fine then. I won't love you then. Forget you then. I won't love you. I'll just leave you alone. Go to hell. See, that's not the way God's love does. God's love says, I'll go to the cross for you. Because see, when God is manifesting love to you, it's not about you. When I really am loving you, Brother Paul, it's not what I'm going to get for it. It's not like Brother Paul recognized what I did for him. It's what can I do? And you reject it. Hey, I love you. Anyway. What can I do? How can I help? See, that's a whole different level than most of us live at most of the time, just to be honest. Because we are still taking care of our own selves too much. And that's where God wants us to get to. And how does he get there? more separation. Just keep separating. Just keep going forward. Well, I'm separated from the world. I got the Holy Ghost. Good. That's the start, not the finish. Just keep pressing on. And when the word comes and exposes an idol, press on. Put it in God's hand. Say, tie me to the horns of the altar and get rid of this. You know what happens if you try and get rid of it on your own? You're out there burning books in the bonfire. Foolish. God has to take it. Brother Branham preached a message. Standing in the gap. He said, I had developed a complex toward the people because I thought they should have accepted what I'm saying. They should accept it. And they said, fine, if they don't want to accept it, I'm just going to go off and live in the wilderness. That was wrong with the prophet. That wasn't expressing God's love. Jesus didn't do that. He said, well, you're saying the prophet was wrong. Yeah. That part of his humanity was showing up. And God rebuked him. He said, if you go do that, you're going to lose everything. You're going to be a bum. You know the story. It wasn't God's will for him to go do that. It was selfish. His feelings were hurt. He had been rejected. As a kid, he had been rejected. And now as an adult, he was experiencing the same pain. You talk about a test. He'd been so scarred as a kid. You know this. Listen to his life story. He'd been so scarred of being rejected, and no one wanted anything to do with him. And now as an adult, God was doing all this, and no one, people didn't want anything to do with him. He said, I'm not going to keep experiencing this pain. I'm out of here. And he took off, and God rebuked. He said, no, you do that. God didn't say, don't you do that. He said, if you do that, this is what's going to happen. I'll make your choice. He chose wisely. And then you know what he said? He was preaching that message, and he said, I'm going to go back out on the field now. Whether you like it or not, the people accept me or not, I'm going to go out, I'm going to preach, I'm going to do that. He said, but I can't go right now because I still have that feeling. I still think they should have accepted it. He said, I cannot go out there and preach and love them the right way, the way I'm feeling. Think about that. The prophet of Malachi 4, the seventh church age named, was sitting there, standing there, telling the world, I have the wrong feeling. I can't even love you right. And you know what he said? God has to change me. Because I still feel wrong towards the people. God has to change me. He didn't say, I'm going to go there and pray through. Or I'm going to go there and try real hard. Or I'm going to get real religion. I'm going to read the Bible. Or I'm going to just go out and... No, he said, God's going to have to change me. God's going to have to change me so I have the right feeling towards the people. What did it say? You have to get the feeling for the people. You're not going to be effective. So here's the prophet. You think he was born again? Probably, right? Well, you say, what do you mean that way? Because we act like once we're born again, we don't have these problems anymore. Satan tells you that, doesn't he? Well, if you were only born again, you would love everyone totally all the time. Well, the prophet didn't. I'm so glad I can preach this here. Well, I'd be preaching anywhere I was preaching, but a lot of people would be up in arms by this time. You are disdeifying Brother Branham. Yes, I am. He was not deity. And I'm so glad. Just like I was glad Abraham did that, I'm so glad Brother Branham would stand up and tell us his problems so that I can look at that and say, thank God, I'm normal. I'm human. He stood there and said, God has to change my heart. What about you? What scars are you protecting? What idols are you protecting? What is going on in your life that God's dealing with? He's saying, why don't you give this up? All right, God, I'm giving it up. I'm going to try real hard.
sit back down. Seriously, sit there and let God do it. You know, what's the Thursday priest? Your strength is to be still. Your in your quietness and confidence is your strength. That's what it says. God's going to do it. I'm sorry, I have to read this one more. Listen.
He said, brother and sister, why would you take a substitute when the Pentecostal skies are full of the real thing? Why would you run off after some this, that, or the other when the real love of God is waiting for you? When God can get into you and have confidence in you like I would my wife and you would your wife. Think about God getting in you, having confidence in you. Did God lose confidence in Brother Branham when he had that problem? Absolutely not. Because he knew Brother Branham was going to say, God, you need to change this. I made my choice. I'm not running off there. I'm here to do what you want me to do. God knew he's going to make the right choice, and he had it all planned out. He said, I don't care how many men would come up. That wouldn't bother me a bit. Talking about it, come up to his wife. She don't care how many women would be around. That won't bother her a bit. We got love and confidence. And the only way you can have confidence is to have love.
If you don't have confidence in God, you don't love him enough yet.
The only way you can have confidence is to have love. And the only way you can believe God and take him for your healing or whatever you are taking him for is because you love him. You got confidence in him that he won't lie to you. He promised you he'd do it.
So what do you have need of? What idols are you struggling with? What needs to be changed? What does God have to do in your life? If you love him right, you have confidence he'll do it. He's going to take care of it. You say, well, if I don't love him right, then what? Then just keep coming to church until the word reveals Christ. Look, the more you know of him, the more you love him. You can't help it. The more he reveals himself to you, the more you recognize how amazing he is. He's amazing. If you ever get to know him, I promise you, you'll love him. But he does this little by little sometimes to keep us fighting, keep us pressing on, to keep us dying. And the more we die, the more we get to know him.
He says, when that love isn't there, you say, oh God, you're my father and you love me and you'll do it. It really is that simple. And then you can go to work and say, God healed me. God set me free from this. God did this. And they look at you and say, I don't see any difference. He said, well, just hang around a while. You're going to see it.
How do you know? Because God loves me.
I love him. I have confidence he'll do it. It's his will. He said, oh, brother, that's what the world needs. It don't need a new denomination. It don't need a new something startup. It needs to get back to the love of God. That's what it needs. That's the world is crying for it. That's what the world needs. And how is God going to love the world? How is God going to express his love? How is he going to demonstrate his love to the world?
Quite a responsibility we have. That's what God called us to do, because that's why he made us a peculiar people. You're a royal priesthood. Holy people. A generation called to this word for today. And that's good. Amen. Let's stand.
Lord Jesus, we're grateful you would come tonight and speak again to us, Lord. And I appreciate just how you just came to me personally and just opened that word the way you did, and to show us again another type of who we are and, Lord, what you are doing with us. So thankful for this, Lord. Help us just to keep pressing on, Lord. I pray for the ones who weren't here tonight, Lord. If they're tired or feeling down or sick or whatever, you just be with them and just encourage them and raise them up and strengthen them, Lord. And be with us, Lord, as we go from here. Keep us safe on the road. And tomorrow, whatever we have to do in school or at work or at home, wherever we're at, Lord, just be with us, Lord, that we can always please you. And Father, let this word that we've heard tonight, Father, we can go out and try in our own strength to manifest it, and we'll just make a fool of ourselves. But Lord, when we give ourselves into your hand, you can take this and be a reality to those who need to see it, Lord.
We ask this, Lord, in your name and thanking you again, Lord. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, Hallelujah, since I've laid my burden down. You're dismissed. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.